From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into a Faraway Friday edition on this Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready. I am at the controls back in Oxford. Neil is in Cincinnati. He took in a Reds win over the Cubs last night. I assume doing the same thing today. Not real sure. A good bit of traveling going on, actually, over the course of next week. Rivals has their annual conference, convention, whatever you want to call it. The five-star challenge is next week, too, from a recruiting standpoint. Ole Miss had a nice day in recruiting as well yesterday. Three commits, I think, over the course of the day. So you can check rebelgrove.com for plenty of content regarding that. We're going to get to some of your questions. We're going to hit a couple of newsworthy topics going on today as well on this podcast to close the work week. And we'll tell you that the podcast is brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. And they are big people and big supporters of the You Gotta Believe football camp that is in Jackson next Thursday and Friday, age 3rd to 12th grade. And this isn't a scouting camp. This isn't a rivals thing. This is about teaching. This is about coaching. It's about kids getting better. You can go to ygbfootball.org to find out more, to register. A lot of former Ole Miss players, people that really know their stuff, going to be assisting with kids in their games to make them better players, probably have a little personal element to it as well. We're talking about Evan Engram, Dante Moncrief, Cody Core, Mike Hilton, Jordan Wilkins, just to name a few. So, again, YGB Football Camp, and you can find out more online at ygbfootball.org. And at least myself, I'm in the mobile Clark Ford studio this morning.
You are. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. You get a great Ford product. You get tremendous service after the sale. Really, they go above and beyond in ways that I don't know anyone else that does. And you get it all with no hassle, no hours of haggling. You get a quote, and you can shop it, or you can just go ahead and let Corey and the people there at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners, the podcast self-included, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. Call that number, 662-257-1900. He'll take care of the rest. We'll make the deal even better. Mention the podcast or any of our podcasts, and it's $500 off the bottom line at Clark Ford in Amory.
So a little bit of news this morning. Gray Kessinger, as we'd reported, had arrived in Bourne, Massachusetts to play for the Bourne Braves in the Cape League a few days ago. He drove himself to Massachusetts, played in his first game last night, starting at second base and in the top of the seventh. Had a collision with Anthony Prado, the shortstop for Bourne, back up the middle on basically a ground ball. I went back and listened to the play-by-play of it this morning after I'd gotten kind of wind of what happened. And Gray caught by far the worst of it. He broke his left thumb. I think he also suffered some head, just some superficial injuries to his head area. Those will be better. They ruled out a concussion. He spent several hours in the hospital. He will fly back to Mississippi tonight, and his summer is over, but he will see an orthopedic, I think, when he gets back, just rule out any further thing needed on that thumb. But the hamstring was good, and really tough luck for him, as he had the Jones fracture that ended his summer in Bourne last summer before it started. He injured that on the first day of the SEC baseball tournament, and then now one game in with Bourne, seven innings. Breaks his thumb, shouldn't cause any missed time with Ole Miss, but we'll wait and see what any kind of further evaluation he has to have with that. But tough break, no pun or anything intended with Gray as he comes home tonight, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Just had a bad run of injury luck.
Yeah, I mean,
it's really that simple. I mean, you know, stuff happens. Said these. Probably ought to wrap himself in some bubble for a while, just try to get well. I mean, I know he wanted the opportunity to play in that summer league because he's going into a critical year for his prospect development in terms of the way he's evaluated, and that league was going to be a really big part of it, but it's unfortunate.
So, I mean, it's not, you know, look, it's not some as long as the thumb's healthy, it's not some devastating thing, not something that's going to change any trajectory for him or anything, but just frustrating for the kid in general. I know he'd really been looking forward to it. Somebody who, obviously has the talent and the opportunity to play in a pretty prestigious, have a life, you know, a summer you'll remember for a long time, that it ends after one day, probably pretty tough, but, nonetheless, the other news kind of coming out yesterday, I expect, kind of heard they would, Ole Miss getting involved with the receiver at Cal, the 4- and 5-star that's going to be transferring. He is looking Demetrius Robinson. I was losing his name there for a second. He's leaving Berkeley looking for a new home. Jacob Peeler was the reason he went to Cal in the first place, so it makes sense with Ole Miss's history of wide receivers and the Peeler connection that Ole Miss probably is going to be involved with him at some point.
Yeah, I would think Ole Miss will be pretty involved, and I would think Ole Miss would be attractive. They're going to lose at least two receivers, and maybe three, after this season, depending on what Metcalf does. There's a spot there for him. I do hear a whole lot, and again, I'll defer this to Russell and others who are involved in recruiting. And I was traveling yesterday. I wasn't like on my phone or whatever, but I did kind of catch a heavy buzz from a handful of people that I know and follow and stuff, that Georgia will be very involved. And so that might be difficult to turn down at this point with where their program is, and he's from there. And I don't know, you know, what
I'm really utterly shocked that Georgia would be involved, Neil. Might have a hard time sleeping tonight because of that.
Yeah, Mike, you know, I just, before everybody just makes the assumption, oh, he'll go to Ole Miss because of Peeler, I don't know that I'd dismiss Georgia too quick.
Yeah. We'll have some fun on this this Friday, jump into some of you guys' questions. I can't pass up Rocky questions, of course. I don't know. I haven't read spoilers. I'm not going to read spoilers. I will avoid spoilers all the way through Thanksgiving night when I won't be watching the movie on Thanksgiving night. But whenever after Thanksgiving that I do see the movie, the first question from JReezy23, Neil, is Adonis going to beat Drago's son?
I don't have the scouting report on Drago's son yet. I did think Adonis Creed was developing as a fighter.
Okay.
He gave the soon-to-be imprisoned champion quite a battle over in Belgrade. I've heard that Ivan Drago's son is a massive human being. I don't know how well he moves his feet. I don't know how the reach is going to factor in. I do know that there is difficult to imagine a greater motivation than defeating the son of the man who killed your father. So, that's an intangible that goes in Creed's favor. I'm going to guess, just based on the emotion alone, that Adonis Creed will win the fight. I will also guess that at some point in the fight, Drago's son will knock him down.
I feel very good about that. Unless we're already gearing up for Creed 3, it's a guarantee he's winning.
They got to be careful with the Creed.
I mean, no, in Rocky 3, we had a loss and then a win. We had two fights in the same movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, Rocky 3.
We had Mickey's death. Sorry, spoiler alert. I mean,
Mickey died?
Yeah, Mickey died. Crazy.
Clubber Lang was tough. I mean, if you weren't prepared for Clubber Lang, and Mickey had, when you go back and think about it, Mickey did not do Rocky any favors by just scheduling a bunch of pansies for Rocky to beat up. And Rocky had gotten soft.
Yeah, and because they manufactured title defenses for Rocky for a while.
They did. And then Apollo, and really there were three fights in Rocky III. There was Lang Balboa 1, Lang Balboa 2, and then there was the fight that we were cheated out of seeing. Creed, Balboa, 3.
There at the end when they both throw the punch, look like they're both landing, and we don't know what happens.
Ding, ding is all we heard. Well, we actually found out.
No, we saw the punch. We saw the blows being thrown.
All we found out later was when Adonis Creed went to Rocky Balboa's restaurant in Philadelphia and asked him about the fight, Rocky told Adonis Creed, and we don't know whether Rocky did this just to be nice to the kid or whether he told him the truth, but he told him that Apollo Creed won that fight.
And Rocky had some facial damage in Rocky IV when we saw him coming home from said fight.
Yeah, so it's possible that Apollo Creed really took it to Rocky Balboa in that fight that no one saw but the two of them.
All right, here's the better question. We'll move on from Rocky, even though I really don't want to. Is what will the Rotten Tomatoes scores for Creed 2 be? The first Creed sits at 95% with critics and an 89% with the audience.
It was a great movie. Yeah, all jokes aside, that movie was really well done. I went into it very skeptical, thinking this is... We're probably taking the lemon out of the trash can and trying to get fresh lemon juice out of it, and I could not have been more wrong. It was really good.
It's going to be lower. It's going to, as I told you, I still expect a lot more kind of popcorn flick to this.
Yeah.
It's not going to have the same edge as the first one. It's just really hard to get that the same way organically.
And I don't know that the first one made the kind of money that this one will make. I anticipate a lesser film that grosses far more money at the box office.
I mean, Rocky IV, now this was 1985, 38% with the critics, 79% with the audience. It's not going to be anywhere near that bad, but I see something in that 70-something with the critics, probably around 85 to 90 with the audience.
Yeah, the critics, if you judged Rocky IV poorly, you need to quit what you're doing. You need to go get another job.
Rocky IV inflates the action to absurd heights, but it ultimately rings hollow thanks to a story that hits the same basic beats as the first three entries in the franchise. Well, yeah.
Could not disagree more. I'm sorry. That movie ended the Cold War.
You would think it would have gotten the social issue points that today's movies get sometimes, but alas, here we are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who we're going to credit. I mean, Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, take down this wall. Rocky Balboa took down the wall. I don't understand.
That's the only thing we missed at the end of the movie is if they'd shown him out on the wall and Rocky like had a sledgehammer in his hand.
That's what he needed. He was probably too tired to swing it at that point. It was
that and the multiple amounts of brain damage that he was dealing with at the moment.
Balboa had done enough. It was time for someone else on this big, giant marble in the solar system to do his or her part, and luckily people did. But Balboa took care of that. Look, Ronald Reagan did a lot of things as president, but he was not able to achieve in 8 years what Rocky Balboa achieved in 2 hours.
I have no idea what football uniform tweaks are coming up for the incoming year. I'll ask. I don't know if they can tell you because I kind of like to keep those a surprise sometimes, but I have no idea.
If you were in charge, how would you tweak them? I know that's what people want to know. I'm on record here.
I would wear more white pants.
Yes.
I would make white on white with red and powder helmets pretty much the road uniform all the time, barring exceptions.
Yeah,
as far as actual tweaks, I don't know if there's anything I necessarily want changed. I like alternate helmets one time, just the one-off helmets. So do something weird with the helmets. Give them a white helmet for a day. I think a white helmet with a red Ole Miss script would look good for a game.
Oh, so you would keep the script?
Yeah, I'm fine with the script. Why, as opposed to what?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know whether you'd break out the M like the softball cap has.
See, I like that M. I think baseball should go to that M. It's much more Ole Miss than just the block M when our guy from Dubuque doesn't know whether that's Michigan or Maryland or Ole Miss.
Yeah, I've said many times that if you don't have any idea, the Maryland and Ole Miss stuff looks a lot alike, the M.
Yeah. I would move to the softball golf script M. I forget what they call it, but yeah, that.
All right, Ole Miss has gone crazy with powder blue.
They have.
In fairness to them, I see it on fans all the time. So they're making money.
Yeah.
So when I say crazy, I'm not judging. I'm a big money person, and it appears they've made money. Do you break out the powder blue jersey?
I can't figure out a combination that looks okay with that unless you just go white pant. I guess.
The helmet that would look good with that would be a red helmet.
Yeah. You could even get by with the white helmet I'm mentioning.
You could get by with the white helmet, and you could get by with the powder blue helmet if the powder blue helmet matches the jersey.
But it's not – but see, that's what's funny about this is Ole Miss's powder is not the same powder. Their helmet powder is not the North Carolina powder.
No. That's what I'm saying. Your blue has to match – the blues have to match. Whatever that color is that Ole Miss is wearing on its helmet, you've got to get a jersey that's pretty close to that.
Photo blue maybe is the blue, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, whatever. Do you break out the powder blue?
I'm not a fan of the powder blue in football. No, it is a jersey.
Basketball?
No.
Not basketball.
I'm cool with the basketball. Yeah, I'm good. Any other sport, but something about the football jersey, I'm just not a big fan of. I don't know why.
I don't know whether it's because I still have a soft spot for the Houston Oilers when I was a kid. Love You Blue and Dan Pastorini and Earl Campbell and all those. You don't remember those people. They're before your time. I like powder blue. Like I think if you're going to do powder blue to the extent that Ole Miss has done powder blue, I think you go all the way. You go ahead and jump off the big board and into the water and just see what happens.
Okay. Fair enough.
They went with a gray jersey, for God's sake.
That was bad.
It can't be worse. That all gray they wore at home that time, that was an abomination.
You didn't like that?
I not only didn't like it, I hated it.
It falls into the territory of you have red and blue as your colors, use them, that we talk about all the time.
You have red and blue. And white's a free space. And
it's
you
like when Kentucky goes to the black, and we go, what are you doing?
Well, and when you do that, or when they go to that, Kentucky goes to gray.
And chrome.
You deserve to lose. You deserve to lose. Tennessee has the orange and the white. And, look, you got to be careful with orange. And, like, the Bears' new orange jerseys are just pure sexy.
See, that's a question later. I'll go to it now. Are you jumping on the Bears' bandwagon?
The uniform has me thinking about it.
And Trubisky.
Say again?
You like the quarterback there.
I do. I like Trubisky. I like Chicago.
Yeah, it's an easy fit from a media market standpoint for you.
It makes sense.
So what's it going to take? What's going to be the thing to actually push you over the top on this?
Well, I mean, this is breaking news. So this is typical of this podcast. We break news. I am going to try the first 2 weeks of the season to cheer for them and see how it feels.
Define cheer for them.
Watch the game and try to actively root for them.
Be engaged.
I'm going to try to be engaged.
Are you going to watch their preseason games just for the heck of it too? To try to get acclimated to the players and whatnot?
I guess if it's available, I'll give it a shot. I'm not a big preseason football game. Having covered the preseason as a quasi-beat writer a few times, I can tell you that preseason games are brutal.
Would you like to hear the games you're going to be watching early in the season?
Yes, please. I do not know the schedule.
Okay. They're going to open against the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field.
This is regular season?
This is regular season, September the 9th. It's 7 o'clock at night. You get a night game, actually.
Okay,
so you'll get this. It's a national game.
September the 9th. Is that a Sunday?
I don't know.
Yes, that is a Sunday because Ole Miss opens at home the day before. Okay, it's doable. Sunday, September the 9th, a night, yes.
And see, here's where you're going to get really lucky. They do that, then they're the Monday night game the next week against the Seahawks at home.
Ooh.
You get two national games in a row.
Now, they'll wear the white jersey at Lambeau, and I like their white jersey, but I don't like the blue pants. Here's part of my problem with the Bears.
Uh-huh.
I'm being serious here. their uniforms are they have potential, because white, orange, and that dark navy blue is a nice combination. But when they wear the white jersey with those blue pants that sort of look black,
so you want white on white with an orange stripe?
Yeah, I want white on white, and you can incorporate the orange and blue stripe, and I'm all good. And I like the helmet fine. The orange jersey is just fantastic.
So you need them to wear the orange jersey at home against the Seahawks on September the 17th.
Yes, I do. And I need them to wear white pants with their white jersey at Lambeau, and I'm probably in.
Okay. Well.
But like for example, see, that's why I get a little frustrated with your team sometimes, because the Saints have the best helmet in all of sports.
You like the helmet. Okay.
Oh, it's just spectacular.
All right.
And when they wear white on white with their helmet, oh, it's amazing. And when they wear the black jersey with kind of the gold, the white pant with the black jersey and that gold helmet, oh, I'm so in.
So you want the Saints wearing white pants all the time?
Yeah, but they don't need to wear those black pants with just the fleur-de-lis on the hip.
I don't mind their gold pants. They made it a big game deal. I hate their black on black. I hate when they wear black on black.
Yeah, it's a bad look.
And I don't like when they get cute with the gold jersey either.
Uh-uh.
They haven't done that I don't think, but either way.
I like the white jersey and I like the black jersey. Don't mix it up. And
on the road, I'm fine with white on black sometimes as your alternate.
White on black, yeah.
White jersey, black pant, it's fine.
Yeah, I prefer the white jersey on the white pant.
Well, you like white pant on everything, though.
It's a clean look, yeah. Well, I like the Saints gold. Gold pants are fine.
Okay.
I prefer the white pants. So the Bears, they have a chance to win me, but they're going to have to participate in a fashion show
we'll
I don't know.
We'll make some calls, try to find somebody we know up there, see if we can get that done.
Because there was a couple of Bears fans – or Chicagoans, I suppose, in the hotel here in Cincinnati last night that had on, like, the blue jersey. And I know it's a traditional jersey, but I don't like it.
You've spoken. We'll move on with our questions in 1 minute. Try to talk about something actually Ole Miss related at some point, maybe. But we do that.
We talked about Ole Miss's uniforms. That was Ole Miss related. We talked about Gray Kessinger. That was Ole Miss related.
Demetrius Robinson was kind of Ole Miss related.
Demetrius Robinson was Ole Miss related. I would say we've been – I mean, and Ole Miss is part of America. Am I right?
Yes.
When you talk about Rocky Balboa, that is technically Ole Miss related.
He wears red and blue too.
Damn right he does.
Yes. Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773, MasterCutsLawn.com, yard aeration, landscaping, get some pine straw put in your yard. Whatever you need, Master Cuts will help. Even build an outdoor kitchen or outdoor living area, a deck, or more. Give them a call, 662-607-7773.
The podcast is also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South celebrating 10 years of business this season coming up, starting on September the 8th, as we mentioned. First of 7 home games, whether you're coming up for 1, for 4, for 7, for 2, for 6, any of those numbers in between, 7 South can take care of you. They have individual game packages. They have full season packages. They have SEC packages. Whatever you want, they'll take care of you. If you tailgate with them once, you'll never tailgate without them again. They can set up your gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one's going to match their customer service, their attention to detail at 7SouthTailgating.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here, right there in Oxford, I should say. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person. There's no 10 buttons to push. There's no 5 minutes to wait. What there is Kasasa, and that's the absolute best cash checking account. OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. They'll refund ATM fees nationwide. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And Rebel Nation 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com.
Little news, giving credit here from Pine Belt Sports, what I've told Rebel Grove people for a while, but Joe Gray is signing his deal with the Milwaukee on Friday. Today, I guess. Then he's off to take BP at Miller Park and then off to Arizona to begin his pro career tomorrow. So Pine Belt Sports reporting Joe Gray to sign his deal with the Brewers.
I'm going to say this without trying to cause too many fights. And I don't say this to kiss your tail. I really don't. When people bring other stuff about, if it's about like the Bears or something, cool, because Chase is not an authority. If it's about Ole Miss baseball and he tells you that Joe Gray's going to sign, just because it takes 2 weeks doesn't change the story. And when people propagandize to you and tell you something's might not happen that is going to happen, that's a disservice to you, the consumer.
I'm listening to you. I'm just posting that real quick. Number.
It's a disservice. It'd be like if you covered a really bad analogy here, but it'd be like if you covered the Memphis Grizzlies and you wrote, hey, LeBron James hasn't ruled Memphis out as a possible free agent destination. Well, that might technically be true, but LeBron James is not signing with the Grizzlies. And you know that. And so writing something about LeBron James at that point in Memphis is simply clickbait. It's nothing more than clickbait or cheerleading, one or the other. No, there's no other alternative. So when you write that, hey, you know, Joe Gray just might come because he hasn't signed yet, that's disingenuous. It's either clickbait or it's cheerleading. The Milwaukee Brewers did not use that pick and that cap space, that slot space, on a kid that they did not at least have a very educated opinion that he would sign with them. Odds are overwhelming that either Joe Gray himself or Joe Gray's advisor, who will become his his agent later today, told the Brewers, yes, he'll sign. That's how that works. It's sometimes why when people say, how come you guys don't have as much content as other people? Until today, I've kind of kept my mouth shut, but what is the content? That Joe Gray might come to school? Literally, the moment that the Milwaukee Brewers selected Joe Gray, that moment, the option of going to Ole Miss was off the table. That moment.
Yeah, he basically indicated to them that he would take an amount less than his number. It's going to be more than slot. It's going to be less than his asking price. My guess is somewhere in that 1.2 to 1.4, 1.5 range, somewhere in there. So I think he was looking more for like 1.92. I think slot was like 1.1, something like that. So they'll meet.
Well, let's be serious here. There's a certain amount of negotiation going on here. Who was his advisor? Is it Boris?
Yeah, he's a Boris guy.
Okay, so Scott Boris is his advisor. Scott Boris has done this a few times. I'm going to guess that Scott Boris sort of knows how the game is played. Probably asked for a number initially that he knew he wouldn't get, but that would set the stage to get the number that they really wanted to get. I can't be the only person that's not naive here. I need to shut up, because the way this works is I make people mad and they yell at you.
I'm good.
And I'm not criticizing any work in particular, but when people say there's a chance that he comes to school, I mean, it's kind of like, what was that movie? The movie with Brett Favre was in it. I don't know, Dumb and Dumber, where he says, so you're saying there's a chance? That wasn't Brett Favre.
Brett Favre was in a Something About Mary.
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber, where he goes, so you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, the moment that the Milwaukee Brewers took Joe Gray that early in the draft, it was over.
Yeah, if Joe Gray was going to 100% stick to his asking price, he probably is at Ole Miss. Anything off that asking price, he was an easy take, and they'd meet in the middle and get it done. The moment he was drafted, I was a little surprised he was drafted, because Joe is the kid that I did think would get closer to sticking to his number than some kids that I've covered. But then once that was over, it was over. So, you know, it is what it is. So we will move on from there. I posted on the message board, got that done real quick. So move on with our day.
Have you seen Greg Norman is in Sports Illustrated's The Body Issue?
ESPN, the magazine's The Body Issue. That is Sports Illustrated. That is the competitor to the swimsuit issue from Sports Illustrated.
I stand corrected. How old is Greg Norman?
60-something. He looks good, though. See, I was going to bring this up to you and say, even at that age, are you good with showing off your body if you look like that?
He's 62.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if
dude's ripped.
If I'm that ripped at 62, I'm not wearing clothes either.
So you're good with it. No problems.
I mean, no. I mean, I can't criticize the man. I mean, can you imagine being that secure with yourself that with all those people standing around you fully clothed, you're standing there just naked swinging your golf club?
See, that's what I thought. I mean, it does take a certain level of confidence for those things, because you look at the photo shoot and go, woo.
Yeah, he's playing with the stuffed shark.
Yeah.
With what appears to be not a stitch of clothing on.
Yeah. Just there.
Just Greg there.
Probably 10 people around minimum.
Yeah, and I'm guessing male and female around him. Yeah.
So, no, I was going to bring that up to you. It was relevant, but
who else is in the body issue? Do we know?
I don't know. I haven't looked this time.
Huh?
It's always a pretty contrasting cast of characters. They do a good job with it. I'll give them credit for that. All right. We move on. I'm not discussing anything Hugh did or did not do. We've done bucket list sporting events a lot in the past. Mainly, I'd like to go to Wimbledon. I'd like to go to the British Open. Those are a couple off the top of my head.
I'd like to go to Wimbledon, too.
I have no interest in Super Bowls or anything like that, honestly.
No, the more I hear about Super Bowls, the less I'm interested in going to one.
Your own team in a Super Bowl is actually one of the most miserable experiences you can have. Like, being there. I'd much rather be in a bar in the host in the home city if I had to pick one of the two.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Like if I could have been in Miami or in a bar on Bourbon Street, there's no doubt which one I would pick.
Oh, a bar on Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Far more fun.
Mm-hmm. Have you had a Pimm's Cup before, and do you like them?
A what cup?
A Pimm's Cup. It's an alcoholic beverage.
I've never heard of it.
Have you not? Pimm's is a liquor. You put it in with ginger ale for sure. Maybe something else. Maybe a cucumber slices. It tastes kind of like alcoholic cucumber water. My wife likes them. They're okay. It was not something I would ever order, and I would never want more than one for sure. But they're not the worst thing in the world. They're all right.
Never had that. Never even heard of that.
Yeah, it's a British spirit liquor, whatever. Pimm's. You can get them most places. I know Snack Bar does them for sure. But
huh.
It's all right.
No,
yeah,
never.
Pimm's cups aren't bad.
Okay, never. That's
some
new.
Pimm's, put some ginger ale.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah, I think some people substitute like Sprite or 7-Up or something, but I've always found the best luck with ginger ale with them.
By the way, 7-Up tastes different than Sprite.
Did I say it didn't?
No, just because I hear people say it's one and the same. No, it's not.
What about, where does Sierra Miss fall into that?
Oh, gosh. It's more like Sprite to me than 7-Up.
It has an acidic taste that I'm not a fan of for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I would rank them 7-Up 1, Sprite 2, Sierra Miss somewhere below, well below 2.
Okay. I did enjoy Woj last night trying to say everything but they were drafting a kid. He apparently had a little restriction on him that he ignored for the most part. So.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, it was funny.
He was really good. Especially when you're following the draft from Twitter, because I was at Great America Ballpark. It was really funny. It was really well done. And he just kept going. His mastery of a thesaurus was fantastic.
What is your favorite SEC beat?
Meaning the people on the beat?
Yeah, the people on the beat.
Oh, gosh. I like the South Carolina guys a lot.
You know, it's one we never deal with, really, but I do really like those guys. They would be a good addition to the West that we actually had to cooperate and deal with more often.
Yeah, there are three or four beats in the West that I would trade off for South Carolina, particularly.
If it was like Survivor, you know which way you're going on here, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, there aren't many people on the Vanderbilt beat, but they're all cool.
They're fine.
And
I get such a kick out of Larry cheering under his breath. So it's their main SID cheers very quietly, aggressively every game, and it has gotten to the point where I find it very humorous. So
yeah, yeah, it's funny.
Who are you shipping off then?
Oh,
you get Carolina, but you got to trade one. Who are you sending?
Well,
you can only send one.
State.
It is State?
Yeah.
Okay.
See ya.
All right. Fair
enough. That's a free trade.
Crazy scenario that WF Brown 10's always wondered. 2010, let's say Ole Miss doesn't blow it against Jacksonville State. They actually play Jeremiah Masoli the whole game. They also beat a 2-win Vanderbilt team and finished 6-6 instead of 4-8. That's a bowl season following a hypothetical 2010 bowl season with 2011 have gone just as badly, and if it did, would it have been enough to fire Nutt? Yes, it would have gone just as badly. I assume he's still fired.
Yeah. I think it's difficult for us to put into words
just how bad that was.
Yeah, and now, in fairness to his hypothetical, 2011 began with the loss to Jacksonville State. But the offseason leading into 2010 was dysfunctional. There were gaps on that roster that were very evident, and there was an attitudinal shift that began in the offseason leading up to 2010 that manifested itself in the Jacksonville State game. That game did not happen in a vacuum. We were shocked by that game, yet we weren't. I can remember standing there on the field with you before we hit the button on the instant analysis brought to you by Clark Ford that we thought, I can remember saying, I didn't see this coming, but I'm not surprised it came at all. And you were like, no, it's not surprising. We knew that team was not it wasn't well grounded.
It was the result of a lot of symptoms of just mishandling on so many fronts. I don't know how really to put it.
Yeah, it's.
But I mean, I've covered some weird games, some weird teams. Like, this is asked later, what's the strangest or the worst team I've ever covered? It's 2011. It's not even close.
Yeah, no,
seriously here. The 2007 Orgeron team that went 0-8 in the league would have beaten that 2011 team at the end of the year by two touchdowns.
Yeah, if you took the 2011 Ole Miss team and put it in the Sun Belt, I'm not convinced it would have finished in the top half.
Well, I mean, you watch what Louisiana Tech did to them that day. Well, you didn't. You were interviewing Kirby Smart, but
yeah, but I saw it. Yeah. I had it on my computer.
Yeah.
That was free money, by the way, that day.
Mm-hmm. Little Mississippi news. It is official now, Mississippi to allow sports gambling in 30 days.
Cool. Yeah. Good for them.
As I'm still scrolling down stuff, just saw that.
So. It's a revenue stream. They ought to tap. It should be a difference maker.
It should be and will be, I would think.
Oh, I don't see how it won't be. Especially with Louisiana behind, and I think it's great news. I think it's fantastic news for the coast. It's probably fantastic news for Tunica. If done right, and if they do it right, it could be super. I don't know that people race over to Vicksburg to do it. Maybe they do. It's just harder to get there. But for the coast and Tunica, I think it's big news.
From Rye Whiskey, odds of Jeffrey Wright getting married in the next 5 to 10 years?
5 to 10. That's a big gap. 10 years.
That's a gap where I say it's much higher than 50%.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Because if you're getting married, you're probably getting married in that time span. And the odds of Jeffrey getting married eventually is very high.
I would say yes. I would say 5. If you're giving me 10 years, yeah, I'm all in. I'd love to ask that question to Jeffrey. We'll remember to save it for next week.
Which hypothetical would have had a greater impact on the future of the Ole Miss program? LSU 2003, Arkansas 2015, given a win in either game.
Arkansas 2015. Well, okay, let's talk through each of these quickly.
Okay, LSU 2003, you win, you go 8-0 in the SEC, you win the West. You probably beat Georgia in the SEC title game because they weren't overly good that year. And then you play Ohio State in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have mattered whether you won or lost.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Yeah, you go to the Sugar Bowl. You're not a national contender.
David Cutcliffe is not fired at the end of the 04 season, no matter what happens.
Agreed. Nick Saban.
Now, what worries me about this, not to be overly morbid, is does Cutcliffe, his health decline to a point that we have something catastrophic happen at that point?
I think that's very conceivable.
That's the one part of this that worries me in this hypothetical.
I don't know enough about it to say this emphatically, but if the stories that I have heard are true, David Cutcliffe felt that the symptoms of heart issues at home, and his wife Karen insisted that he go to the doctor, and he ended up having surgery forthwith. You do wonder if David Cutcliffe feels those same symptoms on the road recruiting or in his office recruiting or in the grind of running an SEC program, and Karen Cutcliffe is not right there, does he immediately go to a doctor? I think it's unfair to say that he wouldn't have consulted a doctor. It might have been even someone like Tim Mullins, who was there at the time, who would have said, Coach, you have to go to the hospital right now. I mean, that's conceivable. I don't know, but that's certainly something that you have to think about if you're going to go down that road, because the fact that he was home and Karen insisted that he went to the doctor in that vacuum saved his life.
So you don't have Orgeron, and who knows from there what the trajectory of the program is. Honestly, I don't know.
Well, it's positive.
Certainly a positive. Now, you win the 15, you, again, win the West.
Well, let's go. Hold on. Let's back up a sec.
Yeah.
Let's back up a sec. Let's say, for the sake of this conversation, that David Cutcliffe doesn't have something catastrophic happen to him. Because he's as nice of a human being as you'll ever meet. So we certainly don't want that. Yeah. So let's say that David Cutcliffe hangs in there. I wasn't covering the program, but it's my understanding that he was going to put Robert Lane in at quarterback in 2005.
I think that is correct, yeah.
And Robert Lane probably would have fit the Cutcliffe system pretty well. Now, he wasn't going to be Eli, but guys, Eli's still in the NFL, has won 2 Super Bowls. Eli's pretty good. If Eli's last name were Parham or Brown or Johnson or Jameson or whatever, people would not be comparing him to Peyton Manning, and he would hold up pretty well under his own numbers. So I'm not comparing Robert. Robert Lane probably would have been better than Michael Spurlock at quarterback at Ole Miss, and not as good as Eli Manning, which puts you right in that 7-8 win window. And I think it's you could make the argument that if they beat LSU that day, that David Cutcliffe is the head football coach at Ole Miss for 15 to 20 years.
Really?
Okay. Think about it.
So what's 15 do for you?
Oh, see, because of the NCAA thing and because of Freeze's personal issue.
You think it still puts the same still ceilings on it, even though you get obviously a much different season?
I think we're probably where we are today covering this program.
There's just another banner hanging in the stadium.
But it would have been fascinating, because here's what's interesting about Ole Miss and that team. And I've gone down this – because you know me, I want the 18 playoff. And Ole Miss was going to be either the poster child or the impetus for, or the father of the poster child if they had won that game.
Right.
Assuming, and here's the assumption. Everyone says, well, had they won that game, they were going to win out. I do, and this isn't fair, but Freeze's teams were roller coasters. I do wonder if beating Arkansas and all of the subsequent hype that would have come, because if you remember, they lost to Arkansas and the national media went away. They disappeared. And that football team got to just play football the rest of the way. I do wonder how it would have been different had they beaten Arkansas that day, changed one of those plays. They beat Arkansas, and then all of a sudden now they become the poster child for, well, what they were, the playoff conversation, Chase, was going to get crazy. People were going to say, okay, well, how do we judge Ole Miss? They beat Alabama on the road, but they lost at Memphis. How do we judge if the conversation would have become, if Ole Miss wins out and they're the SEC champion, well, Alabama, if they win out, they have a better record, but their one loss was at home to that Ole Miss team. But that Ole Miss team lost at Memphis. I think Ole Miss was going to be so in the conversation that I do wonder whether the results would have been the same for them in those games against LSU and Mississippi State.
Okay, that's fair.
But if they were, if the results were the same, and then Ole Miss beats Florida in the SEC championship game, and I do believe they would have. We've talked about it many times. It was going to,
you're either in the playoff or you're still right there beating the absolute crap out of Oklahoma State, one or the other.
Well, I was going to say Ole Miss was going to be, the lost publicity from that is difficult to even fathom, but the conversation about, there were a lot of people were going to have a stroke at how much people were going to talk about how this conversation was going to happen. Well, you know, they lost at Memphis and they didn't do it. They haven't done this the right way. There was going to be a lot of that. And people were going to be unbelievably frustrated.
Simply from program trajectory, the 0-3 game means more than the 15 game.
I think so.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's fair. So anyway,
now that I talked through it, yeah.
We'll continue in 1 second. First podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting. Understand your market. A leader in condo financing and the float down option. You can find Jason at JLOWE at communitymtg.com or 662-234-2704.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. And then send him an email, ha@HarryAlexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in. Test drive one today. tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast, and they'll take extra care of you. They're great people. You talk about people that will go above and beyond in terms of after the sale, service, delivery, all of those things. It's Grenada Nissan. They're wonderful at it. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And the podcast is brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their site, msbnkr.com, or search for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or abbo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a great one when you get Robert Gambrell. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
Podcast is brought to you by Tyson Drugs. They're in Holly Springs. Give them a call, 662-252-2321. They've got a great app or on the website at TysonDrugs.com. You fill out some forms, and you don't even really have to talk to anybody. Give them a doctor's name. They get the prescription ready and deliver it to you wherever you are. They're also now in Oxford with G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar, and they deliver in the Oxford area. Just kind of a fun one here as we move on. David Collier says on the podcast this week, y'all mentioned that media public relations people, quite the IHL, twist reports to say what they want to say. What's the most clever and most obnoxious instance y'all have come across? When I interned for ESPN Dallas, Richard Durrett broke the story that Colby Lewis was out for the year, but he didn't have the exact injury well-sourced enough, so he said, quote, arm injury. John Blake of the Rangers came to him with disgust and said, quote, might want to check that body part, Richard. Colby Lewis had to have Tommy John surgery.
Well, the elbow is not part of the arm.
That's true, yes. I mean,
it's a joint that connects the arm. Craziest one? I don't know. Man, there's so many. It's so much of that is so much of the crap that happens between media relations and media is unnecessary.
And it's things that fans mostly would not give two craps about that we do turn into drama at times. It's probably unnecessary. You know, this is sort of that, not really that. And we've told this story. I'm not going to spend minutes on it. I don't think you were there. I think it was just me. The Randall Mackey concussion thing is by far the most surreal or strange one I've come across.
Yeah, you handled that one. I don't remember what I was doing.
Randall sat in a room, told us about four different concussions, including the games they happened to him in, and then the subsequent symptoms that he was having because of that. And then at the end of the day, Ole Miss came back and tried to say that he was inaccurate or misspoke with what he was saying. It was a really bad look for a lot of people that day.
It was one of those deals too that. And I think it was Houston not forced the issue. I keep waiting for. Well, I always wonder what would happen if a media relations person said to the coach that he worked for, Coach, you just can't do that. It's going to backfire. Maybe he would get fired. I don't know. It's difficult for me to believe that an athletics director would allow the head coach to fire the SID, but I've seen it. I don't know. That was a weird deal because Mackey clearly was telling the truth, and then they made the kid come back and lie, which baffles me.
Yeah, he was – for a media interview with a kid, Randall was very sincere that day, really trying to tell you through the whole thing and everything. I mean, it was actually a very enlightening moment, and then there we are, so –
He was a really nice kid. I'm sure he still is. There were some storylines with him that everybody was terrified that you tell, and I don't know why. I don't know.
Yeah.
The one that gets me the most is it wasn't really a media relations thing as much as it was Ole Miss never really letting Laramie Tunsil be available to media. Always got me because he might have been the most charismatic, funny, media-friendly kid on the team.
It was mostly strange to me because I actually thought he wanted to talk. I thought he enjoyed engaging with us when he did.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And he needed to do it. He was going to be a first-round pick.
I mean, that'll be the moment I remember from that Sugar Bowl, probably more than any more, is the clock's winding down. They basically told us, look, you can get anybody you want on the field, a couple players while they're doing the presentation and the trophy and everything, and then the locker room will be open after that. And I went over and just stood next to Laramie. We were standing on the sidelines right there, and the clock was ticking down from 10 or 15 or whatever, and we're basically both staring at it. And as soon as it hit zeros, I said, Laramie, you got a second? Yeah, I'm good. Go ahead. And as I start talking, somebody from Ole Miss tried to pull him away. And he basically kind of kind of turned his back on them and goes, no, go ahead, I'm good. And gave 3, 4, 5 minutes that was good, fine, whatever was needed, and then moved on. I mean, he was, even at that point, he was wanting to talk.
How did he move on? He moved on with me and Jeffrey. We did a video interview with him.
That's right, yeah.
He wanted to do it. He wanted to do it. Because we asked him about, I assume you've kind of already made your decision about going pro or whatever, and he just kind of gave you that look.
He always told a lot with his eyes, and that was one of those instances.
Yeah, his eyes were like, come on, man. Yeah.
He's around a lot, though.
He is, of that group. He's the one that's always around.
Oh, yeah, he's here all the time. I mean, it's home. I don't know enough about the law changes on the square, honestly, to talk about them right now. Neil might. I don't.
Changes on the square?
The new rule trying to get passed about the music acts and everything, the historic district stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's going to be interesting to follow. I don't really know that I know it. I'm like you. I don't know it well enough to do anything but get myself in trouble.
I believe Neil believes that if Ole Miss loses the Egg Bowl in 14, Freeze does go to Florida. That's
yes,
one of the questions.
I do.
What team was better at the end of the season and give evidence why? The Ole Miss team in 08 or 15?
Well, that 08 team at the end, they were dialed in, buddy.
That 08 team wins a low-scoring game, I think.
I don't know.
Maybe.
That 15 team. See, that 08 team could really get to the quarterback. That 15 team had Laramie Tunsil protecting the quarterback.
See, that's a good – okay. Now, the pressure – somebody had to deal with Parade Jerry at that point of his career, which was he was just insane.
That was pretty good. That's pretty good front, though, 15. Yeah. Ron Cooper's a good player.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
It's been a hell of a game. Those were two teams that got hot at the end, man. I mean, that 15 team, I mean, that 08 team.
Chad probably exploits that secondary a little bit, too, thinking back.
I would have loved to have seen that 08 team if that could have been, had they not been so beaten down emotionally. There was so much psychological work that went into that team.
Yeah, Nutt did a great job making them believe they were football players again.
Oh, the 08 coaching job by Houston Nutt.
Was really good.
I make fun of Houston Nutt a lot and some of the goofy stuff that he did, but that was as strong of a coaching job as I've ever personally witnessed.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Now, the next season when the pressure was on.
Whole different deal.
Was one of the worst coaching jobs I've ever witnessed. He could not handle that pressure at all. And the mixed signals were, you can't trick the kids. But in 08, he took a beat up team. They were beat up now emotionally. That was my first year on the beat. And I had been around Alabama and Auburn and LSU a lot in 06 and 07. And I couldn't get over it. The spring of 08, I was like, man, what happened? Kids were just so shell-shocked, and practices were weird. And I thought, what in the world? And if people would tell you the Orgeron stories, and you were like, oh, my God, those stories are true?
Every one of them, almost.
And you could see how kids were just so beaten down. And that team, that team was weird. That team lost to a Wake Forest team that it should have beaten by 3 touchdowns, frankly, because it did not believe it could win. It went to Florida and won basically because it finally kind of started to buy into Houston Nutt of, you guys are good, you can do this.
And then came home and laid an egg against Carolina.
Yeah, came home and played a flat, kind of boring game. And then the game I remember,
Bama,
was they went to Alabama. This is a true story. They went to Alabama firmly believing they were going to lose, despite the coaching staff telling them all week, you have a chance, you have a real chance. You are every bit as good as these guys. If anything, you might be a little better than them. And they just didn't believe it. And then they almost pulled that off.
A Jevon Snead-Reed. They got the ball back down six late in the game.
Yeah, and had an open man. I can't remember who it was.
It was across the middle.
Yeah, and if he makes that read and makes the right throw, it's six.
They would have been up, I believe, 31-30 after that play.
I walked off the field and I said to Chris Vaughn, he was standing next to me as we were walking off the field, and I said, you guys aren't going to lose again. That second half of that game, I said, you guys aren't going to lose again. And their minds had already shifted to what was coming that next week. I'll give Houston credit. He knew how vitriolic it was going to be.
It was the worst environment for a visiting team I've ever experienced in Fayetteville that night.
And once they won there,
that was it.
I don't know that any team in the country could have beaten them the rest of the way.
Yeah.
What they did to I guess it was LSU and Louisiana Monroe.
Hammered LSU in Baton Rouge that night.
Oh, just hammered LSU. And then, you know, no one remembers it because it was ULM and it was cold and it was rainy. But, man, they rolled out and took care of business. And then what they did to State was – and what they did to Texas Tech.
Well, they were shell-shocked early against Tech. Tech got up like 14-0. Tech didn't necessarily want to be there. Scored early, got a little energy, and then Ole Miss kind of woke up and hit them in the mouth.
Yeah, that team was really good.
I guess Graham Harrell was the quarterback at that point.
Yeah. And they had the receiver that
Crabtree.
Yeah. They were good.
But they couldn't stop Jerry and I guess Hardy and Patrick Trahan off the edge at linebacker.
Yeah. Lockett was good.
Yeah.
That was just
I haven't picked my next Ralph Welb, Larry Rose man crush yet. Benny Snell would seem like the given one, but I don't think that's going to happen. There's something about Benny at Kentucky that I just haven't been able to get behind. So I don't know. We'll find out. I'll find one by the fall. But
it's going to be weird for you to cover a Vanderbilt game and Ralph Webb's not there.
I know. Our calls have not been returned on trying to get him on the podcast.
No, we made some progress, and then it went away.
Did it go away?
Well,
I mean, at this point, he's not a student athlete. I can just reach out to him directly, right?
And you should. I mean, I think there's some closure that you need.
Yeah. I think we can do that. I mean, I'm assuming he's still trying to make an NFL roster.
I mean, I would hope so. He's one of the best running backs that the country has ever produced.
Yeah, he's got a lot of tread off those tires, though.
Yeah, those
playing
tires.
Playing running back at Vanderbilt for 4 years is tough.
When your offensive playbook is just give it to Ralph, that's going to wear you down in this league. He took a beating for 4 years, just kept rolling. You got to give that guy credit, man.
New Year's Six bowl game or Sweet 16, what comes first for Ole Miss Athletics?
Ooh. See, I always love how you do this. I give you credit. You throw the questions that can get people worked up at me first.
I ask all the questions to you first. I'm just going down the list. I'm introducing. I'm moderating.
It's easier to get to the Sweet 16 because you just got to win a couple of games.
It's easier, and at the moment, the roster is at least – well, I take that back. It's not necessarily the roster. It's that in basketball, one player makes so much more of a difference.
Yeah, I'll go Sweet 16.
Yeah.
The Ole Miss's road to a New Year's Six game is a lot of work to get done.
In a couple years, frankly, where the roster is still being rebuilt. In basketball, you can get the roster in a good place in a year or two.
And it's being rebuilt. How do we say this nicely? It's being rebuilt where you're not allowed to go get any premium items. You know, you're building a house, and those really nice granite countertops that she likes, those are not available.
You're on Iron Shelf, but they said, hey, you get to go to Dollar General.
Yeah. Yeah, you're on Iron Chef, except you have to buy all of your food at Walmart.
Yeah.
And the other guy's getting to go buy all of his food at...
He's importing truffles.
Yes. The worst place he's going is Fresh Market. You're not allowed to even look at Fresh Market.
I'll figure out where Ole Miss is ranked baseball-wise in recruiting. I don't know. We have to see who shows and who doesn't all the way around the country, so I'll have to go find that. I don't have it in front of me.
I can already tell people about next year in baseball season. It's going to be maddening a little bit for a lot of people because Ole Miss is going to be a really good team and the rest of the West is going to be really good too.
It's going to come down to one weekend and two weekends again. It's what it's going to be. They're all going to be good. When the polls come out next year, Ole Miss is going to be ranked about sixth in the country.
Yeah.
And it's a lot like the NBA playoffs in a lot of ways because of the way the fan base is right now, and I don't blame you. I get it completely. You're going to play 56 games to then start the season next year.
Yes. Yes.
You're in the postseason. You're probably hosting. You may be a national seed, and we'll play 56 games and see where everybody's at. Put them in a big bracket, and then the season will start.
I will say this. I think we could skip Hoover next year, and nobody would care.
That's a good point. Now, you have to go because they win every time I don't go. But I think you're right, though, honestly. This is a question that we should answer, and I don't know enough. Give me a week or so, and we'll actually do this on another Fireway Friday about – what it would take and what it actually would mean for Ole Miss and State to have their own board of regents or whatever. Now, look, it's not going to happen for plenty of reasons, most having nothing to do with Ole Miss and State. However, I will give you an answer on how that would even be possible, but I don't know off the top of my head. Do you?
It would help. No, I don't.
You do think it would help?
To have your own board, I do.
Now, you got to pick the right people for it.
Well, that's for sure.
You can't have 12 people that have – whatever.
No, you can't turn it into the country club.
But yeah, that in general, work. Well, Ole Miss is probably, I mean, this is all seriousness. Ole Miss is probably the one school that could do it. And that's not a shot at State, it's just the truth. I think Ole Miss would be in the best shape to do it. Because when you talk about this, you're also talking about your own separate funding, your government, your loan ratios, all that stuff. I mean, we're talking everything. I think Ole Miss would be by far the one school in the best shape to pull it off. And because of the shape of some of the other schools and trying to have to deal with that, I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Okay.
My opinion. You agree? Disagree? All good?
I probably agree with that.
Now,
if Ole Miss had its own board right now, board of governors or regents or trustees or poobahs or whatever you want to call it, I can think of a couple of things that would probably go down.
Would you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. One in particular?
Oh, one in particular, for sure.
Okay. All right.
Rod, I think there would be less incentive to worry about how it looked.
Okay. Here is a question for you. The Cubs for the next, let's say, 10 years, ready?
Okay.
You're going to watch all their games, listen to all their games. Your play-by-play options for the Cubs in the next 10 years are Chip Carey or Tom Brenneman?
Oh, God.
You got to pick one. Who you want? You want Tom, don't you?
No. Well,
whoa.
Brenneman's better than Carey. Carey seems like a much nicer guy than Brenneman. Like, I think Chip Carey's a good dude. I don't think he's talented, really. Brenneman is really good when he wants to be, as evidenced by the fact that he has some national gigs where he's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a jerk. Like he comes across like such an ass when they play the Cubs, the Cardinals. Like, he's so resentful of the teams that bring a lot of fans to the ballpark. I guess, oh man. That'd be tough because I really like Pat Hughes on the radio, and I think Lynn Casper on TV is as good as there is. I guess I'd go Carrie and just deal with it.
Okay. So we continue with the last couple in a second. I'll tell you, the podcast is also brought to you by Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel, specializing in Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations. Mention the podcast, get a $25 Disney gift card for booking your vacation. You can find him for a free, no-obligation quote at Brandon at KeysToDreamTravel.com or 901-634-8687.
Guests, join us on the Billy's Pecans hotline. I know a lot of you probably headed to the beach here soon, 4th of July rolling around here before you know it. Grab you some Cheese Krispies from Billy's Pecans. They're now available in 1-pound boxes, 2-pound boxes there at Billy's Pecans. They're fantastic. You don't want to eat the whole box yourself unless you're planning to go run on a treadmill for like 7 or 8 hours, but they are great to have around in addition to all of the wonderful pecans, the coffee cakes, all of the different treats there at Billy's Pecans. It's billyspecans.com or 1-800-624-7404. The podcast is also brought to you by Lauren Valak Ferris of Briggs Freeman Sotheby's in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Lauren specializes in East Dallas. She has a network that extends throughout the Metroplex. So whether you are looking to move to Dallas or sell your home and find a new one in Dallas, get in touch with Lauren. It's 469-867-1734 or go to her site, laurenandkelly.com.
All right, lightning round. Just give your answer. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
You ready? Favorite sports movie? It's a lightning round.
I know. I'm trying to remember. God dang it, I own it. See, I'm losing my mind, man. The pitcher Billy Chappell and
For Love of the Game.
Yeah, thank you for the God.
You good now?
Yeah, sorry.
All right. Favorite sports movie, The Program. Favorite baseball movie, you've already answered that, For Love of the Game. What's your number two since you've already given that answer?
Rocky IV.
Favorite baseball movie other than For Love of the Game?
I think the first Major League's really underrated.
Okay. Mine's Bull Durham. Which fast food chicken chain do you prefer?
Popeyes.
I try to watch what I eat more now, so Chick-fil-A. It's a little healthier.
I mean, I can't remember the last time I had fried chicken. But
yes,
you tell me,
Popeyes is the answer if I'm not worried about anything else.
Yeah.
The Office or Parks and Rec?
Oh, it's both really good, but The Office is spectacular.
The Office. Ranch or blue cheese?
On what?
I don't have any more information.
Neither.
Yeah, neither. Hate them both. You could completely disregard both of them. If I just absolutely had to pick one, it'd be ranch, but I hate them both.
Yeah, if I had to absolutely had to pick one, I'd probably pick blue cheese, but I don't like either one.
One of your top four most iconic college football jerseys?
Ooh. That's a good question. Iconic top four college football jerseys.
Correct. Just the way the jerseys look.
Penn State.
UCLA.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
What you got?
Texas.
I'll allow it.
Huh?
I'll allow it. I don't hate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's iconic. I mean, if I see it, I know what it is. And then the one that comes to mind, and I hate being this guy, but when Notre Dame breaks out the green jersey, I'm all in.
Can't stand Notre Dame, but I agree with you. My next one would be, even though I'm picking two in the same place, I think SC obviously has to be in that conversation.
SC, I thought about Auburn.
Hmm. Okay.
Auburn's blue jersey. You see it and you immediately know, oh, that's Auburn.
Yeah. It's kind of in there with me with LSU's white jersey.
Yeah.
Nobody else has that color scheme. That's got to at least be in there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Good one there. Appreciate that. Let me flip through the last couple. A couple questions for Russell in here, and I think we have actually run through all of them, so appreciate the the questions to help us get through a Friday podcast. We will have guests starting back next week. We've been a little lax on that with being out of town and some different things this week, including potentially a lot of guests as the week goes on. Might have some good shows for you. As the
someone wanted to know real quick what I thought about NBA draft. Who were the winners? I love the Spurs getting Lonnie Walker. That pick is just a steal. And
love Robert Williams to the Celtics.
Oh, I do too. That's a great pick. It's a great pick. I mean, he has so much upside on that team. Could walk into their second unit tomorrow and really help them. And I'm a huge Luka Doncic fan. Just love him. Hate that he went to Dallas. He'll fit right in there for Dallas from a marketing standpoint. From a looking ahead, when Dirk retires at 60, you'll be able to replace him. But in all seriousness, having the European star works in that market, and Luka Doncic is going to be a star.
Did you see on Twitter yesterday where they brought back the Houston Chronicles draft analysis from 1998 where they gave the Mavericks an F?
When they took Dirk?
Dirk and Steve Nash in the draft.
Oh, my God. Two Hall of Famers.
Yeah, they got an F from the Houston Chronicle.
Yeah, that's not a good look about the Chronicle. I love Doncic. Just love him. If I'm a Sacramento Kings fan today, I'm kind of devastated.
Yeah, it is coming an absolute monsoon in Oxford right now at 9:31 as we finish this up.
I think that's what's expected here in Cincinnati. Not that exact same system, but a monsoon later today.
Garbage cans are flying down the street. It's garbage day, and I'm seeing garbage cans just roll down the road.
Well, the last time there was a monsoon in Oxford, cars got flooded in North Point.
So. That was amazing. You showed me that picture and that video, and I wouldn't have believed it otherwise.
I know. That's why I did the picture, because I knew nobody would believe me.
No, I wouldn't have believed you, so... Anyway, all right, plenty more next week at rebelgrove.com. Become a little bit of a news day a little bit with Gray Kessinger, Joe Gray, and the like. Plenty of recruiting, a lot of commitments yesterday. Russell and Chad Simmons with analysis from those also at rebelgrove.com. We'll talk to you again on Monday.